Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for life here and now, in a time when there is so much going on in the world. You have blessed us that we may witness and be a part of and see with our own eyes the things going on right now. May we learn to serve you and be a part of your eternal kingdom now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. In a few minutes, I'm going to talk about what is going on in the world of money and finance, but I have some other thoughts first. So, there are many people who want to know what the future holds. You might want to know what's going to happen tomorrow or further on. But we already know the long-term focus, which is the assurance of our relationship with Jesus in that blessed hope of our eternal destiny and in that heavenly place. But what about the time in between? You might be comfortable with that time in between, or you might think there's a few needs that you have or wants that you have. So, the important thing is always to put our trust in God and live day by day. In fact, we all do live day by day, but we also seek understanding and seek to understand what the wise thing to do is as we live. Now, it's my personal observation that as we follow God's plan that is in the Bible, that we become the happiest people in the world by following God's plan. But even so, all people struggle with issues. And we have our turbulent emotions sometime. And the most common thing I think we struggle with is money. And that is why, in my opinion, money is addressed as often as it is in the Bible. Now, our struggles with money reflects our worldly and our spiritual values. And we don't need to seek out the future in some ways, because we already know some things about the struggles we have or the struggles with money. Of course, the spiritual struggles also. These are all normal. And somehow we have to make the choices that determine our future, whether they're spiritual choices or money-related choices. It reveals the state of our mind, our will, and emotions. But more importantly, it reveals the state of our relation with God. So, no matter how much we talk about money or national or personal money issues, we can always relate it back to our spiritual, personal state of being. So that's why it's just fine to spend a little time looking at money, because we relate to it in that way. We also can look at a direction of thought. See, when we have choices to make about an important issue, we can always look to one direction or the other of it. For instance, if we think about life, our thought might be how to enjoy that life. Or looking at life, it might be after our life and what happens. So it's either, oh boy, life, or oh no, judgment awaits me after I die. And about money, you can look at the two sides of money also. One side might be, oh, I'll never have enough money. But the other side of it is, oh, I have so much, and I can bless other people with the extra money that I have. See, there's always two different ways of looking at things. And we do have a lot of wealth in this country of ours. If you think about how much money Americans earn, especially compared to the rest of the world, it is amazing. The number nowadays is that the average American will earn $1.5 million over their lifetime. And wow, that's a lot. So just think of the opportunities you can have, the opportunities that you can plan for. What are you going to do with your $1 million? I know, it's a funny way of looking at it, but it's okay. In our tradition, we have in our mind that to be a millionaire is really upper class. And yeah, in a way it is. But we do have to realize that we have money to do good things with. So we just have to determine it and make a plan. These days, more and more people are millionaires. Dave Ramsey says that in the United States that there are 11 million households that have a net worth of $1 million or more. Oh, by the way, Forbes, they say that there are 600 billionaires with a B. 600 billionaire households in the United States. Yeah, a million and billion kind of sound the same, but they certainly are not. A billion with a B contains 1,000 millions. See, so they sound the same, but they are ever so different. And a trillion? A trillion is 1,000 billions. So that's why I get concerned with our national debt. Now it's $25 trillion. It is so huge that I'm not sure our national debt will ever be paid. I'm not sure what it means. And there are so many other countries and so many businesses and people everywhere that have a big debt load. And yeah, I wonder about what if it all collapses. It could. It has in the past. In fact, that's the pattern over time. Financial systems collapse. Money systems collapse. That's the pattern. And it especially happens when people spend more than they can afford. And they always find somebody who will lend them money so they can buy what they want. That's the history of money, is there's money and there's money lenders. In history, it's so typical that the person who makes the loan actually gets the property of the person who accepts the money. Historical. It is so historical. So I have to just naturally think of what's going on now in our nation. Right now, this has been going on for years, that the debt has been increasing in every part of our society. It's going on right in front of our eyes, personally, business-wise, in our municipalities, our states, and our federal government. Loans everywhere, debts everywhere, and we can only guess what's coming, but we can look at the patterns that there have been, and we know that eventually the bubbles burst and there is a, well, we've had recessions, but now it's a question of, will there be the bubble burst and a depression come? So, yes, it's a lot of different opinions about that. And we all get to make that decision about what we will do. If there is a bubble burst, an economic bubble, it would hit so many people. It would hit people unaware. And in effect, it would sweep them away financially. So we want to have some preparations for that just in case. Just in case a financial crisis hits. And by the way, when the crisis hits, it is too late to prepare. It's too late. So you have to think about the what ifs and make some preparation now while you can. See, especially these days, right? In these days, we have seen the coronavirus hit, and all across the media, it was shouted, look out, look out, the coronavirus is coming. And what happened? The store shelves of certain items, they just emptied so quick. You know what was hard to find, and you know that that's a pattern when we get some news that really upsets us. So that's a part of what I would say is what could happen if there is a financial panic. Suddenly, the things that you want to do are impossible to do. And that's why we have to think in advance about what we might want to do to prepare for that just in case. Yes, prepare. Prepare, prepare. According to what you understand your needs will be. And if we ever do have a crisis, everybody has a different idea about how to prepare. So, with different people preparing in different way, we can show kindness to each other and help each other with what we do have. And that's the thing about being a community. Yes, prepare, but yes, be a part of a community, whether it is with neighbors or a group of people with the same ideas as you, or a church, something. Just give it some thought. Yeah. I know we have to do a little thinking and balance the ideas between that command of love your neighbor and the other parts in the Bible that say, for instance, those who shall not work shall not eat. That's 2 Thessalonians 3:10. So, you just have to look at the whole Bible and try to grasp what the main themes are. See, you can always look at a little bit here and there and get one or another opinion. For instance, there was always gleaning allowed in the Old Testament of that the owners of the fields of grain allowed the gleaners to come in and take the parts that were left on the edge of the field. So that's another part of biblical instruction. Where does that leave us today? I think it says, read God's word and then seek to live in God's will. We do that by reading the Bible. So yes, try to understand those Bible themes, love God and love your neighbor. And remember that God created everything, including man. And what we want to do is repair the time that man sinned against God and violated God's will, and then he suffered the consequences. So there is a path back to God through Jesus Christ by forgiveness of sins. When we accept Jesus' gift of his death on the cross and the forgiveness of our sins, and then we turn from our sins and we make our Jesus our God and our Lord. And that's the choice that we make that also decides heaven or hell for us. So that's a part of life too. Now, going back to money and finances, well, we do wonder what is in front of us. And it's kind of impossible to tell because always circumstances change, and that makes an examine of what to do more difficulty. And right now, we are in a world where there is negative interest rates. It's just at the beginning, but it's still here. Several of our short-term treasury bill bonds are paying a negative interest rate now. So it's going to happen just like it has in the rest of the world. And that kind of turns upside down everything that we have learned about money. Everything. And that makes the youngsters more able to deal with this change. And us who are a little older, well, we have to also change and recognize that there is a world of change that we have to deal with. I think of the millions of retired people who rely on their pensions or retirement payments, and how does that is to say, the zero interest rates or the declining interest rates, how does it affect them? It affects them because the municipalities, especially government ones, have agreed to make payments, but they have made the pension promises, the promised retirement payments based on, well, for the state of California and CalPERS, they have based that on a 7.5% return of their investment. And you can't get that anymore. There are no 7.5% returns. So what does that mean? It means that retirement payments, pensions, have to be cut. It has to. We cannot rely on taxes to fill in the gap and make those retirement obligations be paid. This is a problem that is coming about right now. It's unsustainable to pay the benefits, and yet they are continuing to be paid. The money guys who look at this area, they say that the cuts will have to be at least 30%. Can you imagine a 30% cut in your pension or your salary or anything else? 30% at least. So if that happens, well, I think that there will other cuts be made, maybe in the entitlement programs. Cuts will have to be made, but of course we don't know when. And that's what everybody does want to know. When will this happen? I don't think we can know that. But I am sure that after it happens, we will wish we had acted differently. So you just give it some thought and make that plan for the just in case. I want to point out that Some changes happen very, very slowly. And then other changes happen overnight, like it's done and over. And that's the thing that we want to also be aware of, is to give it some consideration as to what we might do so that we are not left without a choice. Look at what you might do to stabilize your life. It's simple. Get out of debt and have savings. That's the basics of it. Well, we have things going on right now that are changing the fundamentals of money and finance. Our Federal Reserve, our central banks are injecting money into the system. And yes, it is creating money on a computer screen. It's so easy to do. They don't even have to print the money anymore. All they have to do is add numbers on a computer screen and the money is changed. Interest rates, it's a struggle, and we have to figure out kind of what we're going to do with that knowledge. How do we act on it? We have to examine where we stand with the political decisions that are being made. Oh, maybe for trade policies, or maybe for allowing corporations to move overseas or move back to the United States. Lots of decisions are needing to be made, and we rely on our politicians to make those reasonable decisions, but they have failed in the past. Indeed, they have. For instance, in the 1990s, when the politicians they allowed the corporations, American corporations, to move their complete factories out of the country. And at that time, they also guaranteed that the corporations would not lose their investments. So it's a question about what has happened, what's led to it, and how do we fix it. It goes back a ways. You see, we have had warnings. President Kennedy recognized the danger of our national debt, and he wanted to have a way of not paying interest on the debt that was created. So he created the United States note, which was money printed by authorized by the United States, instead of the Federal Reserve note. And then what happened was that President Kennedy was assassinated, and all of those United States notes were taken out of circulation. Well, before that, we had some warnings. President Eisenhower warned America about the military-industrial complex. That was a warning. Way before then, President Wilson, in his memoirs, said that he had unintentionally ruined his country. Apparently, he was referring to his support of the 1913 creation of the Federal Reserve. So what has led up to our situation today? Everything. Even before that, in the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln, he had things that he supported and did, which were changes to our fundamental freedoms. That's a big subject. I'm not going to talk about President Lincoln right now because it's too big. But before Lincoln, there was President Andrew Jackson, and he would not allow the renewal of the Bank of the United States as a central bank. And some historians say that is why there were several assassination attempts on his life. In one attempt, the would-be assassin pulled a gun and it didn't fire. So he pulled out his other pistol and it didn't fire either. And then immediately Andrew Jackson pulled out his own pistol and shot that would-be assassin dead. Kind of interesting. That's history. Well, before Andrew Jackson, there were other founding fathers. And those founding fathers, they were dedicated to God, even though some historians don't say that that's true, but it is. For example, even recently, I looked up the founding fathers, and one website said that half of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were Christians. But you go to another website, and it says 52 out of the 56 signers of our Declaration of Independence were Christians. So it's a big difference. And so you have to be aware that there are people who are trying to change our history and give it a much different orientation. So I don't know what to say, except you have to be aware that there are people and forces that oppose Christianity, and you have to consider that when you're looking at history. Another part of history is there are historians who say that George Washington was not a Christian. Well, if you read the historical papers, I don't see how you can say that anything except that he was a strong Christian. But that's not what all the historians say today. There's an example. I have this one right here in front of me. It was in the personal prayer book of George Washington, where he has this prayer. It goes, O eternal and everlasting God, direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb, and purge my heart by the Holy Spirit. Daily, frame me more and more in the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that living in thy fear and dying in thy favor, I may, in thy appointed time, obtain the resurrection of the justified unto eternal life. Bless, O Lord, the whole race of mankind, and let the world be filled with the knowledge of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't see how anyone in reading that can argue that George Washington was not a Christian. Well, I think even today, the Christians of today are unlikely to offer up a prayer like that. So, you be aware of the historians that would tell you that our founding fathers were not Christian. I'm a history guy, and everything that I have seen shows me that our country, our nation was founded on people with strong Christian faith and strong Christian principles. And they had a strong hope and desire to bring the hope and the light of Jesus Christ to the world. That's what I see. And we see things have changed in America. The world has changed. America has changed. I think back to 1963. There was the Supreme Court ruling. Here it is. It included these words. If portions of the New Testament were read without explanation, they could have been psychologically harmful to children. Therefore, the Supreme Court outlawed the reading of the Bible in schools. So, can you imagine the New Testament being psychologically harmful to children? Well, that's what was said in 1963. So I mean it as an example to say that things in our nation are changing, and they have been changing for a long time. That was my point of going over history. Things have been changing, and if you want things to change back, it might not be a quick process. Just like the change was slow to come in one direction, it would be slow to change back in the other. Things have changed in our nation. And what kind of things are a concern to us today? Oh, I think a lot of people are concerned with their car, or making their payments, or what's for dinner. There's a lot of people concerned with gay rights and gay marriage and global warming. Things have changed. Can you imagine someone like Patrick Henry today? Can you imagine someone shouting, "Give me liberty or give me death," over a current issue? Yeah, things have changed. It's different. And it might take a while to get things to change back, if that's what your goal is. Speaking of change, 20 or so years ago, a little more, there were a lot of people who were very concerned with the RFID chip as being something that would bring us into a new system, and in fact, the mark of the beast. Well, there was an idea that the RFID chip would allow every person to be watched and monitored. But they don't need that today. They have our cell phones if they want to watch where we are or listen to what we say. Our conversations, they are recorded. There's no doubt about that. And the artificial intelligence allows the nature of our conversations to be understood. That's just one of the changes to the world that we are in. And we can even see that that might be a part, or I guess is a part, of why there is a drive to get rid of cash. And that's not just in this country. That's everywhere. I've used examples before. But there is a drive to get rid of cash and use cards. And that way, everything, the argument is that everything can then be taxed. But it is also so that every transaction that you make with a card is completely, shows your location and your habits and your desires. And that means everything about you can be tracked and tabulated, and your character can be determined. So, I guess it's all right if that happens, if the powers in charge are benevolent and good, then what difference does it make if you are monitored and tracked? Well, in a way, that's true, certainly. But if the powers that are in charge of everything have a bad intent, then we are really in trouble. We are really in trouble. Just look at the totalitarian governments that have existed in history and see what they have wanted to do to their populations. There is an element of control where once the powers that be want to control the citizens, well, they pretty much do. And you know that it's pretty impossible to live outside of that economic system. just like it would be today. I mean, can you imagine living without having a credit card or cash? Well, you would have to be living by faith, wouldn't you? That God would provide for your every need. You might even think it would be like manna from heaven. Well, it's a point of view, and it is completely unknown. What would we have to do if the system tightened down on us so much that we could not have cash or credit cards because we were Christian? Who knows? Yes, you would have to develop that trust in God. And even today, if you think about how your prayers are answered, it's always kind of shocking to me to find out that those prayers are answered pretty much at the last minute. And you just wonder, you say, oh God, this is something that I'm going to need. And God provides the needs. But be sure you have a distinction in your mind between a need and a want. Yeah. So, and remember to give God thanks for everything. If we were in that system where we were completely monitored and we needed manna from heaven or provisions from here and there, yes, we would be so thankful to God every day in every way, even to have our food provided regularly. Well, it's good to be thankful. Thankful to God all of the time. And after all, God is the source of everything. He has made us who we are, and He has given us what we have, and we say, thank you, Lord. Well, I think there's a little struggle in the world today because there's an angel that wants to take the place of God. It is that fallen angel that used to be called Lucifer and is now called Satan. And he wants to be in charge of everything. And to have things change, he puts struggle and conflict into the things and the people around us. Even the technology. The technology will allow an all-knowledgeable being, so to speak. So to speak. I'll say that again. Doesn't mean he really is. It just means that it will appear to be that way. So that's a part of our concerns with the financial monitoring, tracking, and all of that. And it is going on right now. It is getting greater and greater. That's one of the things that people who look see the central bankers as doing. The international bankers around the world, that they are going to be watching over, well, you could say controlling the assets of the world through the money system. And that includes the control of people. That's been going on. It's been a theme that we have seen over and over in every country. And we see one form or another of it. It might be to control the people. It might be to control the resources or the manufacturing facilities. See, that's one of the things that just, I say it just happens, but it happens intentionally to control or monitor people. And a part of the plans of evil are to destroy the things that are in the world. And as people get restricted, that means that they are more and more dependent on the system. We do have to figure out what our position is as to how we will continue to live in this world. Certainly, just just, you don't have to have a complete plan, but give it a little thought about what if. You see, in our world, we have so many things that are interrelating to each other. Conflicts between, God and the world, that's one. The laws of this nation and God. We have concerns about our courts and our politicians and the endorsement of things that the Bible says are not right to have in your life. So, in the United States, we have seen all these things happen. We have seen an economic system that is interacting with the whole world, and it is going in a downward trend. We have seen the middle class shrink. We have seen debt of every kind increase. Debt personally, debt within government. And if these things continue, well, it brings more and more instability. In the past, I have spoken about the Federal Reserve injecting hundreds of billions into the money system, the banking, and the market, by the way. So this trend has only increased, and the money printing makes our national economy unstable because it makes for an uncertainty, and people and business do much better when they are in a stable system. And that's a part of the destabilization of our economy that is not good. It echoes throughout all of life, both personally and with our political system. And then what do we have going on right now is there's so many people who are calling this an economic bubble, and they say it will burst. What will happen when our economic bubble bursts? Well, we will be in trouble. Not just us. The whole world will be in trouble. It's hard to contemplate because it is such a major, major thing to consider. But if you look into it, you will see that there are quite a few people who report on these matters, and they give you the reasoning as to why there is a bubble building in the United States and how its bursting will impact the United States and the world. You know, there's so many people who don't even want to look at the possibility of this, and they don't. So, to them, everything is just fine. There's no problem because they have enough to eat, they have their car to drive, and they have a warm place to sleep. Okay, it's fine for them. But one day, the problem may well overtake them, and everything will change. So, either don't look or do look. And if you do look, you will see that there is a direction that things are going, and it is from a number of sources. So what would you want to do about it? If speaking of the sources, there are banks today like Citibank and Bank of America that are saying to expect a decline in America, in the economy of America. A 12% decline is about what is talked about. There's also some brokerage houses, you might call them banking houses, that are talking about a 25 to 34% decline in the second quarter of 2020. Here, that's J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs. They are talking about a decline between 25 and 30% in the second quarter of 2020. That means there will be unemployment. And Goldman Sachs sees that increasing too, from 9% to 15%. Indicators here and there telling us that the system is gaining instability. It's not stable like it used to be, and things can change. There are plenty of people who foresee a depression will soon be here. Not a recession, a depression. So, you can believe it or not, but the thing that I think is wise to do is say that it might come. And if it does come, how am I going to be prepared? We do hear the stores are closing. JCPenney's, Kohl's. Macy's is talking about, well, they call it furloughing, 100,000 people, letting them go. If they ever get back in business, I guess they would have a job. But these are big stores, Penny's, Kohl's, Macy's. They are letting their workers go on furlough. And our government is trying to make things better, but are they? We are certainly spending a lot of money. We just had that $2.2 trillion coronavirus stimulus bill pass, and now there are two politicians that normally oppose each other, that is President Trump and House Speaker Pelosi, and they are agreeing on a $2 trillion stimulus to our economy. So, yeah, they don't agree on everything, but they're agreeing on that $2 trillion stimulus. Will it happen? Probably will. The Federal Reserve keeps making news releases that show that they are in agreement with this policy. In fact, our Federal Reserve has said that they will print an unlimited amount of currency so that we do not have a stock market crash. And in effect, that would be a nationwide economic crash. But that kind of unlimited money printing also produces a crash because of the instability that it creates. That has been known for hundreds of years. Thousands of years, actually. Go back to Rome. I'm not going to go through that. But the thing is the Federal Reserve does release some of its information. Oh, and some of it is just plain secret. They keep it and hold it for years after their meetings. So we kind of have to guess what their plans are and what they're going to do. But it sounds like they are just all on board with printing more and more money. Yeah, so we will get more money, but its value will be less and less. It will take that proverbial wheelbarrow full of money to buy the loaf of bread at the baker's. If you heard that story, the man brings a wheelbarrow full of inflated currency to the bakery to buy some bread. The baker says, "Oh, you can keep the money. We'll take the wheelbarrow." How bad could it get? We don't know. But there has been a theme that has gone on through history of those things happening, and also ever since the Federal Reserve was created in 1913. Inflation has always been here, and historically, hyperinflation has affected many countries also. We are getting to the conditions that bring about hyperinflation. So we do have to make certain assumptions and guesses to try to understand what is coming. And really and truly, we don't know. But we do know some of the things, and we can make some provisions, some plannings for in case what is typical to happen in history happens. The Federal Reserve is doing a lot. Their plans include lending corporations money, lending cities and states money, and of course, lending the federal government lots and lots of money. And all they have to do is put numbers on a computer screen and they have the money. The Federal Reserve says that they are offering other central banks around the world United States dollars so that they can buy stock in our stock market. Well, you know what? You have to kind of read between the lines, because it's not like they say they're doing this, but by what they are saying, it shows that this is a part of their plan. The Federal Reserve followers see this. You can read it too. It's online. But if you never look, you never see. It's just that this is a way to get the information. Oh, and then you get people like me who talk about this and say, look out, something could happen. Something pretty big. Well, if there is a market crash, the Federal Reserve will have, in effect, they have the loans on everything. Just like the bankers, they loan you money and they own the underlying paper, which means that if you default, they get your property. That's the kind of thing that is going on with the Federal Reserve and how they are lending money all around. Has to be. It's the principle of money. So you can argue that it is or that it isn't, but that's the practice that has been practiced over and over again. We do have assumptions we have to make, and in life, we have been so used to assuming that everything's going to go just the way it always has been. But that's not always the case. Often enough, things change drastically, but it's not that often in a lifetime. Still, we have to be aware that things can happen, things can change, and be aware of it. There are plenty of people who have a plan to be prepared, and a part of that plan is to have savings. Yes, pay off your debt, but also have savings. And when they see the money inflating away, they say, buy something that is has a value that will be kept, like tools or food. And when I say food, that either means dehydrated or grains. Plenty of people are saying, have a month's worth of food. Have a year's worth of food. It's, you know, you just have to decide that for yourself. But I was thinking of a story. They say that the stock market will always go up, up and up and up. Well, it's kind of true, and they give you a graph and show you figures and what it used to be and what it is today. And it made me think of my dad, who told me this story of how at the end of 1928, that was less than a year before the collapse of the stock market in 1929. And, of course, he saw that. He saw the depression that followed. Well, he went into a bank. It was the Bank of Italy, which later turned into the Bank of America. Well, they had a plan to encourage people to buy stock in that bank. And it was a high-pressure sales deal, he said. He didn't say it in those words, but that's what he said. So he bought the stock, and the 1929 event happened, and the value dropped and dropped and dropped. But he wouldn't sell it at a loss. My dad wouldn't And the stock did begin to climb slowly, and it was in 1952 that he finally had the stock return to the value that he bought it at. So, yes, stock prices can drop, and they will go up again. But in this case, it took 23 years to get the money back out of that stock. So, if we have a Great Depression, how much time will you have to recover your assets, your stock, your money? I don't know. We do have a lot of a different opinion about if a recession is coming or a depression. Well, you please look into it and try to determine that for yourself. There's lots of news that you hear, and there's lots of people saying that there will be a downturn. So if that happens, be aware that nobody will have any cash. You will not even be able to get cash out of the banks. I have heard of cases in the Great Depression where people wanted to sell things pretty new for 10 cents on the dollar, and they couldn't get any takers. The banks just wouldn't lend any cash. That's the way it was. So what will happen here? I don't know. But we have to realize that there's a lot of people who say a crash is coming. So what do we do? Just do a little bit of the just in case. Remember George Washington. Remember his prayer. O eternal and everlasting God, direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb, and purge my heart by the Holy Spirit. Daily frame me more and more in the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that living in thy fear and dying in thy favor, I may, in thy appointed time, obtain the resurrection of the justified into eternal life. Bless, O Lord, the whole race of mankind, and let the whole world be filled with the knowledge of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Christ Today, and you can always hear this or other past broadcasts of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org, and that's all lowercase and no spaces. www.christtoday.org. And for my pre-preparedness brochure, just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, and I'll get that to you. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Desperately seeking your face, your way. Shine your light, shine your light.